This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. At the core of every large galaxy, you're going to find a supermassive black hole. There is one in our own Milky Way. It goes by the name of, can you guess? Do you know? Sagittarius A. But while black holes, big and small, might be dime a dozen in the broader universe, there's still a lot we don't know about these gravitational vortices. And in the last couple of years, though, a high-energy X-ray telescope has given us an unprecedented look into their inner workings. It's called the Nuclear Spectroscopic Telescope Array, or NuSTAR for short. Even black holes hidden behind dust and gas cannot escape NuSTAR's piercing rays. And given that it's 100 times more sensitive than previous X-ray telescopes, it is recently giving scientists a detailed look at some pretty rare black hole behavior. Joining us now to round up new findings on the black hole and black holes in general is Fiona Harrison. She is the principal investigator of NASA's NuSTAR mission. She is professor of astronomy and physics at Caltech here in Pasadena. She's in our studios at KPCC. Welcome to Science Friday, Dr. Harrison.
Oh, thank you for having me.
How exactly does the NuSTAR telescope work? Give us a little thumbnail sketch.
Sure. Well, you know, it's kind of like an optical telescope, but instead of focusing visible light, it focuses X-rays. And X-rays and visible light are related. They're what's called electromagnetic radiation. It's just that, you know, if you think of waves on the ocean, the distance between the crests of the waves is much smaller for an X-ray. It's the size of an atom instead of, you know, for a radio wave, it might be meters. And so material that is very hot and particles that are moving very close to the speed of light emit X-rays. And this new telescope collects those X-rays, focuses them, and makes pictures of the universe in X-rays.
Mm. And So what does NuSTAR tell us about the X-rays and about what it's looking at that other telescopes can't do, for example?
Well, you know, as I said, it's the hottest material in the universe that emits X-rays. So we're looking at regions very close to the black hole, where, of course, you can't really see a black hole itself.
It's black.
Yeah, right. But what you're seeing is you're seeing the stuff, the matter, that's falling onto the black hole, because black holes don't live in isolation. They live in galaxies with dust and gas. The stuff falls on, it heats up, and when it gets very close in, very close to what we call the event horizon, the material gets very hot, particles get accelerated close to the speed of light and emit X-rays. And so if you want to see the regions very closest to the hole, you look in the X-ray with telescopes like NuSTAR.
And you actually caught something, right? Being sucked into the black hole?
We did. We saw actually very recently a very rare event where these regions that emit this high energy radiation, you know, these extremely energetic, what we call the corona, it suddenly collapsed and enabled us to get a good view of the very innermost regions where general relativity blurs the light. And so NuSTAR, besides making pictures, and I want to actually here be clear, we're not actually making a picture of these regions. We're dissecting what the region looks like by breaking the X-rays into constituent colors, by basically looking at an X-ray rainbow.
So, but in this case, you were actually able to look a little deeper into the black hole?
Yes, we were able to look at the regions, you know, very close to the event horizon. And because of this rare event, these regions were illuminated very brightly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, black holes aren't static. They're very dynamic. And so we caught this rare event, and we could tell then, because of this, that that particular black hole is spinning very rapidly.
Wow. Does it also help you confirm Einstein's theory of space-time and things like that? What happens when you get the, like, gravitational mass there?
Yeah, you know, in fact, there have been many tests, precision tests of Einstein's theory of relativity, but in regions where gravity is not so strong. And some of the only regions in the universe where gravity is strong enough to really put Einstein's theory to the full test is very near a black hole. And this blurring of light is a confirmation of that theory of strong gravity.
How many black holes has New Star looked at?
Well, in total, a few hundred.
A few hundred.
Yeah. And the bright ones, we're able to actually dissect what's going on in great detail, but we're also trying to find dim black holes. As you said, black holes lurk at the heart of every massive galaxy, and one of the major quests in astronomy today is to try to understand how galaxies form. Mm. And it turns out black holes aren't just a, minor constituent of the universe. They're in every galaxy, and they help shape the galaxies.
So you start with a black hole, and the galaxy forms around the black hole? Or is it captured first? You have a galaxy, and it's capturing it, or something like that?
Well, it's a bit of a chicken and an egg thing. Mm. But basically, scientists believe that in the early universe, you could collapse and make big stars, and those stars collapsed to make black holes, and those black holes merged. And through this process, you ended up with a cosmic soup, and then some stars and some black holes and eventually galaxies. And this process, there's an interplay here.
Mm-hmm. Just this month, it was announced that scientists think they may have uncovered the first medium-sized black hole. Why is that so interesting?
Well, it turns out in the universe there's two sizes of black holes we know about for sure. A very massive star, and when I say massive, I mean, 10, 20, 30 times the mass of our own sun. When it dies, it burns all its fuel, it collapses, the core forms a black hole, and that black hole has maybe 10 times the mass of our sun. And we see those, we know about them. We're sure what their masses are. Then there's the supermassive black holes you were talking about earlier. These are millions to billions of times the mass of the sun. And they grow over cosmic time in the hearts of galaxies. And the question is, do black holes come in size medium?
Goldilocks.
Yeah, right.
Three different sizes.
Right. Well, this is a big question. It would be very interesting. We think maybe these medium-sized black holes formed early in the universe, like we just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can find their remnants in what are called dwarf galaxies. But it's a very good question. And this result you're talking about is very tantalizing. I wouldn't call it a smoking gun, but it's indicative that some very bright X-ray sources of the kind that New Star can study in nearby galaxies, they're so bright, people have suspected they might harbor these medium-sized black holes.
Right.
And this is evidence that one of them may actually be about 400 times the mass of the sun.
So it gives you impetus to look for other ones, thinking now we might have one that we never thought could exist before.
Yeah, so I think we have to confirm this result.
Yeah.
It's very tantalizing, but it would be very interesting. And it would be interesting because it would be hard to form in the galaxy where it's found, and so it'll give theorists lots to chew on.
Talk about the New Star Guest Observer Program.
Wow. Yes.
Can anybody play?
Anyone. You could write a proposal and look at something with New Star, in fact. So we have now started a guest investigator program where anyone in the world, if you have a good idea, you have your favorite black hole, you can write a proposal and get time.
Yeah, we'll look forward to it. I'll have to get busy now. Thank you, Dr. Harrison. Dr. Fiona Harrison is a professor of astronomy and physics at Caltech in Pasadena and principal investigator of NASA's New Star mission.